History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 410, 89 degrees on this Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. Week is half over. We're on the downslope now. It's all good. We'll get through it together. Looking at time-wise, Jake and I were discussing it over the break there. It looks like we're going to play the audio from J.D. Vance here in West Princeton at the 5 o'clock hour today. Just before the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to play the Small Business Administrator Kelly Loeffler's statements to introduce J.D. Vance here. She talked for about 5 or 6 minutes, so we're going to play that before the 5 o'clock hour, then J.D. Vance after the 5 o'clock hour. And then after that, we'll get some interviews in from the event. T.J. Fitzgerald from NEPA Republicans. Bikers for Trump were there. We have Dwayne McDavitt and his, we interviewed him there, as well as State Representative Jamie Walsh interviewed him there as well. So we'll play them in the we'll try to get everything in just before the 5 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour for you. But yesterday there was that huge energy summit at in Western Pennsylvania, in the Pittsburgh area at Carnegie Mellon University, where President Donald Trump, U.S. Senator Dave McCormick announced tens of billions of dollars in energy investments throughout Pennsylvania, and two energy companies with Lehigh Valley ties are involved. At the Pennsylvania Energy and Innovation Summit, Carnegie Mellon University, Trump and his cabinet members said that the United States needs to produce as much energy as it can to compete with China for both economic and national security. Some of the investments announced by McCormick's office were not necessarily brand new, while others were. Among the investments announced were several involving the two electric utilities serving the Lehigh Valley. PPL Corporation will invest $6.8 billion through 2028 to expand grid capacity and modernize transmission lines across multiple Pennsylvania counties to support the growing power demand for data centers needed to power AI. Those projects are expected to create 3,400 new jobs. The Allentown utility also will be part of a joint venture with Blackstone to develop, own, and operate a combined cycle gas generation capacity. The venture is part of a $25 billion in investment by Blackstone, which also include a data center and energy infrastructure development in Northeast Pennsylvania. Those investments are expected to create 6,000 construction jobs and 3,000 new jobs. Just these two projects alone, you're talking 12,400 jobs. That's incredible. And this is just Northeast Pennsylvania. We're excited to leverage the powerful expertise that PPL and Blackstone Infrastructure possess to bring much-needed new dispatchable generation online in Pennsylvania to match new data center load in a way that can directly support economic development, large load customer needs, helps to mitigate rising electricity prices and energy customers, and delivers increased value for shareholders without traditional merchant power risk. And that's coming from PPL President and CEO Vincent Sorgi. The joint venture seeks to develop front-of-the-meter generation that sits on top of Marcellus and Utica shale basins, can quickly connect to significant available gas pipeline capacity, and targets areas of significant data center interest. We're excited to partner with PPL to develop generation projects that will help Pennsylvania and PJM meet the growing demand for power-driven, the digitalization of the economy, said a senior managing director at Blackstone Infrastructure. Blackstone Infrastructure has proven track record and commitment to long-term partnership, and we look forward to working with PPL to power data centers across Pennsylvania and the broader PJM service territory. First Energy, a parent company of MetEd, and other major electric utilities serving the Lehigh Valley will invest $15 billion to expand power distribution and improve the electricity grid in 56 of the state's 67 counties. 56 of the state's 67 counties will have improved electric grid. And they're looking at doing this by 2028, 2029. Company will also expand his apprenticeship program with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. The electric landscape in Pennsylvania and across the country is evolving rapidly, and economic development and artificial intelligence drive increased electricity demand. First Energy President and CEO Brian X. Tierney said in a statement, meeting the demand while ensuring reliable energy supply requires more dispatchable energy sources and at stronger transmission infrastructure. The surge in demand creates both challenge and opportunity. First Energy is embracing the opportunity and making strategic investments that enable job creation, growth, resilience. Through 2029, First Energy is investing more than $28 billion in capital system-wide to modernize local distribution systems and strengthen the transmission network. You are talking tens of billions of dollars. You are talking jobs upon jobs upon jobs. And not just that. For these areas that are creating 6,000 construction jobs and then 3,000 jobs after that, these people, these families, these workers are going to go to establishments. They're going to go to our stores. They're going to eat in our restaurants. They're going to hang out in our bars. They're going to stay at our hotels. They're going to buy property. They're going to relocate to this area because of the high-paying jobs. They're going to add to our tax base, our infrastructure base. If you look at the expansion of that, and that was the whole idea of sparking this, do something different. Because what we've been doing really wasn't working too well. You could look at a $36 trillion deficit to grasp that. Energy independence has always been a goal and a target of America throughout history, be it from wood to steam, to coal, to gas, to oil, and nuclear. It has always been what we strove for. And then you're talking about the expansion here and the investment in these companies, the investment in our power grid, because that's what it is. We are benefiting from this. The more solid they can make that power grid, the more robust they can make that power grid, the better it is for you, I, who live here. Some of you have lived here your entire life, generationally lived here. I've lived here for 22 years. Plan on sticking it out here if I can. This benefits our area. It benefits all of us. It's a good thing to get behind. And I understand, well, the politics didn't work out your way. I get it. You don't like who's in the White House. I get it. You just can't stand the person. Okay. Well, there's a saying, both in law enforcement, but in the military. It started in the military, obviously. You respect the rank, not the person. You can utterly detest the person, but you're going to respect the rank, and you're going to show it proper respect, and you're going to give it its proper place. And that's always served everybody well. From the police department, listen, I worked with people that you just could not tolerate. And it's interesting because I told one of them one day, every once in a while, sooner or later, detective becomes mister. And they really didn't grasp that, because you have these people who their rank goes to their head, or their position or their title goes to their head, and they think they're untouchable. They think that they can do and say whatever they want and treat people however they want because of whatever insignia is on their shoulders or on their arm or on their breastplates. And once you bring them down to reality and say, sooner or later, you know, you're going to be Mr., I'm going to be Mr., there's no protection for you anymore. There's nothing you can hide behind anymore. And it's interesting because someone that I did not get along with very well, they were an inspector. They were high ranking in the police department. And weren't the nicest person, but, you know, didn't really never went head-to-head with. It was interesting because after retirement, I was doing some consulting work with the MTA. It sounds like Air Force Two just took off over the building. Yep. It's amazing how you can tell the difference of the planes, how it just takes off different or sounds different. So they came up to me after a party, knowing that I was doing consulting work for the MTA, and they were looking after their retirement for a position with the MTA, you know, being that they were a high-ranking NYPD official. It came to me hat in hand. Hey, you know, I heard you're doing consulting here. You think you could put a good word in for me? So everything goes full circle. Everything goes full circle. It's just a matter of time. But this is good for our area. And you don't have to like the person that's in the White House. And again, you're going to have an election in a few years. You have the midterms coming up, and then you'll have the general election. And you make your decision like you did the last time. And if your candidate does not come through, listen, one side's going to win, one side's going to lose. The worst we can do is try and agree on things like this: rebuilding our infrastructure, rebuilding our power grid, which is abysmal, to be honest with you. So good news coming out of Pittsburgh yesterday if you really look at what was said and done there. And again, take politics out of it. Take these companies who are looking to make money, right? That's what these companies are doing. They're looking to make money. They see an avenue here to make money, and they see an avenue here to make a more sustainable power grid for you and I. Sounds like a win-win to me. It's 422 here at WILK. We'll be back at 2020 traffic and weather. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Listen, and I shouldn't have to say this, but, and I'm not giving you advice on how to avoid these things, but dumb criminals are going to do dumb things. Stop sending drugs through the mail. It is going to be intercepted. There are levels and levels of checks when your mail goes through systems, from scanners to detectors to canines to you name it. And tipsters, no less. But a Scranton man was arrested after packages with cocaine were intercepted. Scranton man was involved with cocaine being shipped into the city from Puerto Rico, police is charged. Narcotics agents working with postal inspector learned in October of a group in Lackawanna and Luzerne County moving cocaine through the United States Postal Service, according to a criminal complaint. The group used variations of names as both senders and recipients of the parcels from Puerto Rico. Multiple packages were tracked from the same IP addresses, investigators said. Investigators seized parcels with multiple kilogram quantities of cocaine inside. Postal inspector located March 1st a parcel sent from Moca, Puerto Rico, to Victor Pagan in Westburn Street in Scranton. Using law enforcement database, investigators learned there was no Victor Pagan residing at that address, according to the criminal complaint. The sender's name, Marisol Lopez, was also on the parcel that was seized and found to contain 2 kilograms, equaling 2,049 grams of suspected cocaine, investigators said. Investigators set up surveillance before the package was delivered. A black Subaru WRX arrived. A man later identified as John Gutierrez Soto got out and walked up to the back of the property, officers said. Investigators saw the package delivered and watched the same man pick up the package. The man then left in the Subaru. Investigators followed the vehicle, stopped in the multiple parking lots, briefly returned to Washburn, and then headed down towards Interstate 84. Investigators determined John Gutierrez Soto resided at 1726 Washburn Street and identified him as the man who carried the parcel inside the residence. An inspector noticed March 23rd another package originating from Moca, Puerto Rico. The intended recipient, Juan Morales, investigators said the same IP address was used to track the package delivery a few days earlier to 115 South Sumner Avenue. The package was originated from Puerto Rico as well. Moral of the story is here, stop sending drugs through the mail. The postal inspector.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, our postal inspectors are unsung heroes. I've worked many cases with them when I was in New York. They do a great job. We used to do a back them up on a couple of raids and controlled deliveries, they called them, to where they would dress up like postal people or UPS or whoever, because they handle all mail, and deliver stolen goods, drugs, everything else. So that's why I say, and you're not going to fool the system. You might fly under the radar once or twice, but sooner or later they're going to get you. I apologize for that. It's been a long day. So kilos of cocaine coming into our area. But thanks to diligent work by our area law enforcement and others, the stuff is off the street, and that's good. So individuals have been charged. Again, they are innocent until proven guilty. Is in Lackawanna County Prison in lieu of $250,000 bail. Well, if you're talking about kilos of cocaine, that's a lot of money somebody lost. Somebody's not going to be happy. It's 4:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. Today we have four from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm going to start out with Police Officer Ernest Wilson Davis Jr. Philadelphia Police Department, on this day in 1980, was shot and killed after responding to a call for a man with a gun at a restaurant at 3707 North Broad Street at approximately 3:35 a.m. Next, we have Constable Abner A. Hull Jr., Pennsylvania State Constable, Lancaster County, 1936. He was shot and killed while attempting to serve a warrant on a man for a surety of the peace. Suspect had been drinking and was threatening suicide. When he arrived at the scene, he encountered the man holding a hunting rifle. After exchanging words, the man opened fire. During the ensuing shootout, Constable Hull was struck in the armpit and killed instantly. Next, we have Policeman James Allen Lambert, Philadelphia Police Department, in 1922, was shot and killed, and his partner was shot in the leg during a pistol duel with a man at a cigar store at 406 6th Avenue. The suspect was apprehended 3 hours later. That was 1922 on this day. And then we have Patrolman Thomas Lyons, Pittsburgh Bureau of Police in 1878. Thomas Lyons succumbed to injuries sustained on July 3rd, 1878, while attempting to arrest a disorderly man near Sharpsburg Bridge. He was walking his beat along Butler Street between 50th Street and the bridge. When he encountered the man, he placed the man under arrest and began to walk him to the station house. When the man headbutted him, he was immediately taken to the hospital, where his condition worsened until he died on July 16th. And those are our four from here in Pennsylvania throughout history, dating back all the way to 1878. It is coming up on 4:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History. That's what time it is here. I got distracted there for a second. So what do we have today? Let's see. 1945, the first atomic bomb test, the Trinity test. In the deserts of New Mexico, the U.S. conducted the first ever detonation of a nuclear weapon codenamed Trinity. This marked a pivotal moment in both science and warfare, ushering in the atomic age. Just 3 weeks later, atomic bombs would be dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I was listening to our good friend Bob Cordero this morning, and he was actually playing the audio of the newscast during this test. And it was a great, great piece of history. So you can go back on that Odyssey app and check it out, because it was great hearing it in real time while it was happening, and you know how they were talking the audience through it at that time. Radio, right? The power of radio. 1969, the Apollo 11 launches to the moon. NASA launched Apollo 11 from Kennedy Space Center at 9:32 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Astronauts Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins were aboard. 4 days later, Armstrong and Aldrin would become the first human beings to walk on the moon, fulfilling President Kennedy's bold challenge at the time. 1790, Capital Relocation Act was signed. President George Washington signed the Residence Act, selecting a site along the Potomac River for the new U.S. Capitol, which would become Washington, D.C. Until construction was complete, Philadelphia served as the temporary capital. Some notable birthdays today. Ginger Rogers, 1911 to 1995. Legendary actress, dancer, singer known for her iconic partnership with Fred Astaire. Orville Redenbacher, 1907 to 1995, entrepreneur and popcorn magnate whose name remains synonymous with the snack. Do you remember those hot air poppers back in the day? What was that, 70s and 80s? Early 80s? Those hot air poppers, man. Jimmy Johnson, 1943, Super Bowl winning football coach. I know, Jake, not that Jimmy Johnson, the other Jimmy Johnson. Jake got all excited, shaking his head like, that's not Jimmy Johnson's birthday.
The real Jimmy Johnson.
The real Jimmy Johnson, 1943.
Miami Hurricanes, Dallas Cowboys, let the mind control the body, not the body control the mind. And, interesting tidbit, his classmate when he was in high school, Janis Joplin.
Wow, look at that.
Port Arthur, Texas.
Stories they could tell, right?
Oh, yeah.
That must have been some parties in high school. Super Bowl winning football coach and sports commentator. Also on this day, let's see. This is apropos for today. We spent the first whole hour talking about the Scranton parking debacle. 1935, the first parking meters were installed. Oklahoma City became the first U.S. city to install parking meters, a concept that quickly spread nationwide. 1951, Catcher in the Rye published. J.D. Salinger, classic novel, was released, becoming a cultural touchstone for teenage angst and rebellion. And that's pretty much today in history. I do have one other thing to add. And as I'm going to try to – I see both sides of this, but I still think 10 years is far too soon. Tanner Curtis – was paroled nearly 10 years to the day since Patrolman John Wilding had died. He was one of the individuals responsible for his death, and he was paroled for the 2015 death of the Scranton police officer. I understand second chances. I understand he was young. I understand, but 10 years is not much time. 10 years is, you know, I've lived here 22 years, and it doesn't seem like that long ago that I moved here. Now 22 years is a long time. I get it. 10 years, not so much. And I'm kind of torn. I understand the will for rehabilitation. I understand that mistakes are made, even if they're egregious mistakes. But 10 years, I don't grasp it. I think more time was there, because you have friends, family, and loved ones that will never have their John back. So I'm trying to struggle with this in a way to understand it on multiple levels, but the law enforcement side of me, the family man side of me, has trouble with this. So, you know, that's why I added it to today in history. And hopefully it's not a mistake. I mean, it's not in a lot of our hands. It's definitely not in my hand. Hopefully this person proves that they were worthy of such a short sentence and a parole too soon for my opinion, and proves me wrong. I hope he does, this Tanner Curtis. I hope he does prove me wrong. Odds most of the time are they don't prove you wrong. So you also have to look at that aspect of this coin. So my thoughts are with the Wilding family and friends at this time. But I am grasping with the decision of just 10 years, and especially almost to the anniversary date. It's just that much more. Not that it should really make a difference. What's a month make a difference? But it does. You know, we look at the moments in time in our lives. We pick moments in time. Hey, that's why, you know, January 1st, everybody starts their new diet, or we're going to work out, we're going to do something, because that's your moment in time that you picked. It's something that we set on. So it does mean something. So, yeah, I'm grasping with it. So hopefully he proves me wrong with the future that he lives. And I hope he does. I truly do. Because all society doesn't need is another criminal. I guess we'll see, and only time will tell. It's 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. We're going to start to play some of the audio from today's event. This was Small Business Administrator Kelly Loeffler, who was at the event and introducing Vice President J.D. Vance. But she did also speak for about 5 minutes, so we're going to play that audio for you now.
Cut for hardworking Americans in our nation's history. It's a Main Street bill. It's for workers. It's for families. It's for seniors. It unleashes a new era of growth and prosperity for every single American. And I've traveled across this country nonstop for the last 6 months. I've seen it firsthand. This bill is rocket fuel for small businesses. They need it. They deserve it. I've talked with waitresses who are excited about taking on more shifts now with no tax on tips. Yeah, let's hear it. Former waitress right here for 6 years. I know what that means. Mechanics and welders who are no longer penalized by taxes for working overtime. 63% of overtime workers are here. I hear from defense manufacturers equipping our warfighters that they are spring-loaded to buy more CNC machines. I've heard that they're going to expand their shops thanks to 100% expensing. But most of all, I hear that Main Street is grateful because President Trump is the greatest small business pro-worker champion in American history. Now, this bill is generational. It will create 1 million jobs across Main Street, bring $750 billion in economic opportunity. It secures our border. It stops taxpayer benefits from going to illegal aliens. And a major new tax break for seniors, parents, and students. In just 6 months, this is one more win that President Trump and Vice President Vance have delivered for the American people, even with every single Democrat voting against them. Well, the Democrats want to relive the last 4 years, but we want to make America great again.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.